I usually like to say Happy Sunday, but during Lent, that doesn't really feel right. So I won't say Happy Sunday. I hope you are having a Happy Sunday, but it just feels weird to say Happy Sunday of Lent. But as we go through the season of Lent, we become very focused on what we're doing or what we're not doing. Times focused on our fasting or our penance, those disciplines we've decided to do through these 40 days to imitate Christ's 40 days in the wilderness. I don't think that's necessarily bad. I think the church tells us that it's important to fast. It's important to give up these earthly things, even good things that aren't bad in and of themselves. Turn away from the things of the world so that we can grow closer to God and the things of heaven. But I think we can often miss the most important part of Lent when we're so focused on what I am doing. When we're so focused on how we're giving something up, or even if we're failing in the things we plan to do, we miss the things that God is doing through Lent. I would say that's really what's more important during these 40 days of preparation for Jesus' death and resurrection. It's so that we give up those things so that we can cling more closely to God and trust in Him instead of in the things of the world. But oftentimes we do the opposite. We're so focused on what we're doing that we miss what God is doing. It actually reminds me of a lot of times when we're teaching about the sacraments. If we're thinking about baptism or confirmation or the Eucharist, we often think about what we need to do. As parents, if you're getting ready to have a child baptized, well, you need to talk to Father and go through a baptismal class and figure out a date. You need to show up with a couple of godparents, and then you're going to make the promise to try to raise this child in the practice of the faith. And those things are important. I don't want to act like they're not important. I think it's much more important what God is doing in baptism. I think it's much more important that through those waters, He's putting this child into contact with the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. What God is doing in baptism is much more important than what we're doing. It doesn't make what we're doing unimportant. It just reminds us of what God is doing. Hopefully leads us closer to Him. Similarly, when we come to Mass, we may think about the things that we need to do of joining our hearts to the prayers of the Mass, of how we offer our lives in union with the sacrifice on the altar. Again, I think that's important and good. That's a good way for us to participate at Mass. But it pales in comparison to how important it is that God Himself shows up, that He changes what appears to be bread and wine into the body and blood of Jesus so that we can receive Him. So it's much more important what God is doing in Mass than what we are doing. I actually think that's what Lent is supposed to help us to do. Is that by giving up these things, it doesn't focus so much on what we're good or bad at or how well we've done our Lenten practices. Instead, by giving up those things, it makes space for us to notice what God is doing. It forces us to rely on His goodness and His love rather than seeking those things out on our own. In some ways, it's exactly what God was trying to tell the people in the first reading through Noah. That after He sends the waters of the flood to recreate the world that has gone awry, that's full of sin and evil, He promises, one, that He won't ever destroy the world again by water. He says He's going to place this bow in the sky. Not just as a promise that He won't get mad enough to destroy things, but He says, "This is the sign that I'm giving for all ages. Set my bow in the clouds to serve as a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. I will recall the covenant I have made between me and you and all living beings." That after the flood, this covenant is meant to be a promise that God does not abandon what He has created. The sign of the rainbow is a reminder, yes, that God isn't going to destroy the world by this water or this storm. I think more importantly, God wants to remind Noah and the people of the earth that He's still there with them, that He hasn't abandoned them or given them up to the things of evil. It's that He is present to lead them to new life just as He did through the flood. Similarly, in the second reading, St. Peter reminds the early Christians that they received this new life much like Noah and the people on the ark through waters, but a different water, through the waters of baptism. Because that baptism is a promise that not only did they receive a freedom from sin, but it is the promise that Jesus saves you now. It's not just a removal of dirt from the body, but an appeal to God for a clear conscience. That resurrection of Jesus Christ can be present in me now. I think Peter is trying to tell the early Christians, it's not so much about what you do or don't do, how well you live your baptism, or if you feel like you're kind of failing. Instead, in those moments, look to the Lord our God. Look to the way that he is acting and intervening in your life so that you can trust in him. Do you think that's exactly what God wanted Jesus to do in the wilderness? And when he drives him out from civilization, out from the city, he goes out where there isn't any ready-made shelter or food. There's not a natural place to get water. And through those 40 days, Jesus not only survives, but I think he learns to trust that God will always provide for him. That he doesn't have to go out and find those things for himself. He doesn't have to just pull himself up by his bootstraps and try harder if something isn't going well. Instead, to trust that in all moments, especially when things aren't going well, but in all moments, he can turn to God the Father, and he will provide for Jesus. I think that prepares Jesus for his ministry when he goes out and invites the 12 apostles. It allows him, as he journeys and heals people, that he can trust God to provide for him. Especially as we know these 40 days of Lent will end with Jesus' death and resurrection. I think it prepares him perfectly for the agony in the garden and to be nailed to the cross. That in those moments, he could go back and remember the 40 days in the desert. And he could say, God, even though I don't really understand this, and frankly, it's not exactly what I wanted to do today, I trust that you will provide for me. I'll trust that being obedient to you and your will is actually better for me than doing what I would want to do right now in this moment. So those 40 days in the desert became for Jesus much more about what God was doing for him and how God provided for him, more than about what Jesus did for himself. Brothers and sisters, that's meant to be the pattern of our own Lenten season, that we do give up things and sacrifice and fast. But it's only so that we can become more reliant on Almighty God. We can trust in him and be obedient to him, as Jesus was obedient even to death. My own life, especially as I entered into the seminary and walked the road toward the priesthood, I often had to go back to the first time I felt called by God. And when I taught that summer of Totus Tuus out in Denver, I remember thinking that this didn't actually make sense. It didn't really make sense that I was happy, that I was enjoying this, as exhausted as I was and how bad I probably was at teaching third, fourth, and fifth graders. But instead, in that joy, I realized that doing what God wanted me to do would make me happy, even when it did make sense to me, even when it really wasn't what I wanted to do. And so as I went through seminary, as I got ready for the priesthood, and even in my life as a priest, I often go back to that moment. I have to go back and I say, God, if you could make me happy and joyful in those 10 weeks, there's no reason you can't make me happy and joyful right now. There's no reason you can't provide for me now, just as you did through that time in the wilderness. Brothers and sisters, I think God wants to invite us into that each and every Lent, so that we can have a greater confidence, not in our own abilities, but in his providence and his love for us. That like Jesus, we can be prepared today for the days in the future. Days when our life is difficult. Days when it's really hard to follow the command of God. In those moments, we can trust more in what he is doing rather than what we have to do. We can have a confidence that he will provide and give us exactly what we need. That's why in the Gospel of Matthew, when we get this same story of Jesus being driven out into the wilderness, the devil tempts him with three things. First, he tempts Jesus to turn these stones into bread. I think that's a perfectly logical thing for Jesus to want at that moment. He is probably hungry. We need food in our bellies to survive. Jesus has the ability to make it into bread. What's the big deal? Why not just go ahead and turn it into bread? Notice he doesn't say that he just doesn't really like bread, or he's like, you know, can't have gluten right now. That's not what Jesus says. But instead he says, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. I think in many ways, Jesus is saying the opposite of what Adam and Eve said to the temptation of the devil. That instead of grasping for that bread, that thing that he wants, and doing it himself, he's saying, I can actually trust that my heavenly Father will take care of me. I don't actually need to do it myself. Instead, I'm going to focus on what he does for me. Brothers and sisters, may our fasting and our sacrifices open us up to many of those moments leading up into Easter. That we can have that same trust and confidence in God and his providence. That in that way, our Lent will be transformed. Not just as a time that we have to survive and do our penances, but instead that it will become more about what God is doing in our lives than what we are doing for him.